Tonight's share is dedicated to Lenishmas Rachel Bas Avraham Yitzchak. Tonight we have the pleasure of studying Parshas Nitzavim. Sometimes Parshas Nitzavim and Vayelech are together. This year they're separate, Parshas Nitzavim. But keep in mind that Parshas Nitzavim is always read the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, like it is this year, and I believe almost every year it is that way, which means that there's something significant, there's some message in the Parshas HaShavua, or actually, as we'll see, quite a few messages that correlate specifically to the time where we find ourselves right before, a few days before Rosh Hashanah. So that's something we're going to point out as we go through the Parsha, the numerous references and messages and lessons that specifically pertain to right before Rosh Hashanah. So we begin in the beginning of the Parsha. The Torah opens up, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. You are standing today, all of you, Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, in front of Hashem, your God, Rosheichem, your heads, Shifteichem, the heads of your tribes, Zikneichem, the elders, Vishoytreichem, Kol Ish Yisrael. There's a massive gathering. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers the Jewish people together. Rashi tells us he does this because he wants to bring them into a bris. He wants to have one last bris before he dies. He brings all the Jewish people together for a massive bris. We'll have to see what exactly is the purpose of this bris. So the Medrash writes right in the beginning of the parasha, the Medrash says this really took place much earlier. Not all the way at the end, it took place earlier, but we have a principle, a muktim u'muchamat Torah. The Torah is not read like a history book, the Torah does not go always in a perfect chronological order, and therefore, even though this gathering took place significantly earlier in Sefer Devarim, it's only first recorded towards the end of Sefer Devarim. So what does the Pasuk tell us? Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, you're all standing today in front of Hashem. And then he goes to give different groups. Rosheichem, Shifteichem, Zikneichem, Vishaytreichem. Those are all high positions, those are all respectful positions, and it says, Kol Ish Yisrael, every single Jew. Tapchem the Sheikhem, your children and your wives, Vigercha, Shebekir, Machanech. We're going through all different communities, so to say, all different groups of people. Mechoiti Vaitzecha, Shev Mecha, from your wood choppers until your water carrier. So the purpose over here is that the Torah is trying to bring home the point that everyone, no matter what their background was, no matter what their position was, no matter what their ranking was, they were all included and they were all involved in this. The Medrash tells us on the word Kulchem, all of you, the Medrash says that this is referencing Torah. I don't think Torah is only for the big Talmidei Chachamim, and Torah is only for those that have Yichus, and Torah is only for those who come from, you know, rabbinic families. Kulchem, everyone has access to Torah. This is something we speak often about, that the beauty of Judaism is that you don't necessarily have to come from a special pedigree to be able to learn Torah. You can come from a very simple family, and many of our Gedolim came from relatively simple families. Yes, I know, you read the Artscroll book, so every Gadol's father was a Gadol, his grandfather was a Gadol, and by the age of 5 he was learning, you know, Shas and Paiskim. But it doesn't always have to be that way, and it wasn't always that way, and it won't always be that way. Sometimes you have Gedolim and great people that were born from what we call today regular average people. Their parents weren't necessarily great Gedolim and great leaders, but the person decided to become a great leader and a great person because we have the ability to do that. As long as a person is willing to try and to work hard, he can definitely become a great person. So Kulchem means we all have a shaychus to Torah. You don't have to only learn Torah. Torah is not based on a background. It's a meritocracy. If you can study, learn Torah, you can become great. If a person is willing to work hard, study, he can become a great Talmud Chacham. He's not bound by any limitations of family background or any other backgrounds. The Medrash also comments on the end of the pasuk. It says, you're standing with Fnei Hashem Elokeichem. So the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people, you have to realize who you're standing in front of. The Fnei Hashem Elokeichem, V'loy L'Fnei Basav Adam. This is a very different experience. You're not standing in front of a human being. You're standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch, and it's a whole different experience. And this is obviously very relevant as we get closer to the Yom HaDin. Part of the essence of the Yom HaDin is Malchus, is us to realize we're being judged. There's a Yom HaDin in front of a Melech Basav Adam. We know famous Gemara. The Gemara tells us about one of the Tanoim, I forget already, who was about to die, and he was very nervous, and he explained the reason why he's so nervous is because if he'd be going in front of a Melech Bas Vedam, he wouldn't be so nervous. A Melech Bas Vedam, you can bribe. If you have a Goyish, a king, and you want to get your way, so you bribe him. Look at politics today. Everyone can be bribed and everyone can be bought off. But Melech Bas Vedam, nothing can be bribed and no one can be bought off. A regular human being maybe forgets things. People forget, they forget, or they choose to forget. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, part of Zechariah, is that everything is remembered. So the Medrash is saying that you have to realize, B'nai Yisrael is being told by Moshe Rabbeinu, realize you're not going in front of a human being. This is a totally different experience. You're going, you're standing with Fnei Hashem Elokeichem, which again is so apropos as we get closer to the Medin, we try to picture in our mind what it's like to go through Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, again, it's been watered down in our world today. In the world we live in today, Rosh Hashanah has sadly been so watered down. But if you read the Svarim of the Gedolim of even the past century, They all talk about the severity and the seriousness and how they came to Rosh Hashanah. Today we come to Rosh Hashanah. No, we buy a machzer, we dip apple in the honey, we hear shofar, we have a chazan. It doesn't rile us up like it's supposed to, and it should. It's not because we're on such a madriga that we feel comfortable going into the Medrash. It's because we're so desensitized. We just think we go through a routine. Last year we had Rosh Hashanah, and this year we have Rosh Hashanah. No, we'll go through the motions. But sadly, as we know, there are many people that are not with us from last year Rosh Hashanah. They didn't survive the year. So Rosh Hashanah is a very serious day. It's a very, very important day that carries a lot of nerves, and it should. And obviously, we don't want to be anxious. We'll talk more about that. Balancing anxiety with a healthy dose of fear. But Rosh Hashanah is supposed to carry this type of feeling of, I'm standing in front of the only person that controls every element of my life to the detail, every part of my life, every part of my family's life, and there's really no way of getting around him. If I didn't do what I was supposed to do, he knows. Perhaps also a very important comment we say over Rosh Hashanah. Everything's written down, it's all there. You can't throw away the books, you can't hide it, you can't get rid of the laptops like we do today. Everything is open. So the Medrash is alluding to this notion, which I think is very apropos, the idea of Lefnei Hashem Lekechem. And there's another famous Zayir HaKadosh on this first pasuk, on the word Atem Nitzavim Hayoyim. You are standing today. So the Zayar and many other commentaries say the Hayyim is Rosh Hashanah. We're standing in front of Rosh Hashanah. Now, I always felt that this first Pasuk and the second Pasuk of this Chumash, if it's referring to Rosh Hashanah, it's extremely comforting. Why? Because, you know, very often people think, you know what? I'm the only guy that's getting judged in Rosh Hashanah. Just little old me. Everyone else has a free ticket. They don't have to stress about Rosh Hashanah. Zok the Torah, absolutely not. You know who gets judged in Rosh Hashanah? Everyone. From the biggest gadol b'Torah to the smallest Rosh Merusha gets judged in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, there is no way of hiding from it. There is no way to work. You can't buy yourself out of Rosh Hashanah. Rich people are judged in Rosh Hashanah, and poor people are judged in Rosh Hashanah, and Tamidei Chachamim and Amaratzim, and everything in between. It's a humbling, it's comforting, in my opinion, to know that you're not the only person. We know misery loves companionship, misery loves other people, so it's much nicer to know that you're not the only guy being judged in Rosh Hashanah. We're all being judged in Rosh Hashanah. Everyone, all walks of life, maybe even animals and goyim and everyone gets judged in Rosh Hashanah. So I always felt that somewhat comforting to know you're not the only person. You know, as long as you know you're not the only person, so you're like, okay, we're all doing this together. But it's not just a comforting feeling to know you're not the only one, but there's a certain kayach, which is also discussed very often throughout this parasha, is the kayach atzibur. That we're coming together as a group. The Jewish people are coming together as one in a unified nation to be judged as the Jewish nation. The Vilna Gaon said that there are 5 days of the year where we get judged. 2 days Rosh Hashanah, 1 day Yom Kippur, Shmini Atzeres, and Hashanah Rabbah. And he said that's referenced in the word Hayoyim. Hayoyim means the five. Hay means five. Hayoyim, the 5 days that we get judged, the 2 days Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shmini Atzeres, and Hashanah Rabbah. Now, so this first two psukim is the realization and the recognition of that we are all unified together, we all come together as one, and we are also going to be judged together as one, which, as I mentioned, is comforting as well as reassuring. Now, what was the purpose of Moshe Rabbeinu's bris with the Jewish people at this point? So the Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu thought that perhaps the Jewish people felt that they needed to rebuild their relationship after the Chet Ha'egel. After the Chet Ha'egel, their relationship was somewhat affected, somewhat ruined, somewhat broken. So they had to make a new bris. So Reb Henoch Leibowitz asks in the Sefer, he says, what do you mean? Was the bris really broken because they sinned the Chet Ha'egel? And he says something very important. He says, psychologically, the Bnei Yisrael thought it was. So Hashem went out of his way to make another bris, or Moshe Rabbeinu went out of his way to make another bris, just to bring back the psychological outlook of the Jewish people. You know, we often talk about psychological outlooks and how we look at things, and sometimes people say, just don't look at it that way. Maybe not. Maybe if that's the way people look at something, so we have to work with the way people perceive things. And since the Jewish people perceive not after the Chet Egel, they severed their relationship with Hashem. So Davka, Moshe Rabbeinu had to make another bris to remind them that no, although you have sinned with the Chet Egel, you are still part of the Jewish people. The Kli Yakar explains that the role of this bris was to bring unity to the Jewish people and to make what we know as Arvus. As we know, that after the Jewish people had this idea called Arvus, we're all now responsible for each other. And the Kli Yakar is a beautiful words. He writes, Shekol Adoya, he says, Shegam bizman shaloka b'echa me'ervar of kula margishim. A person has a whole body and he has pain in his finger. His whole body hurts. One body part hurts, we all feel the pain. That's how we become unified. And yet we're still so separated. And we don't realize that his pain is my pain. We're all one big body. And we're all one entity. He says, that's why if you look in the Pesukim, everything is B'loshin Rabbim until it comes to the Bris. La'avricha b'vris. It should have said in the plural. Zechter says the Kliyoka, no, because the purpose of the Bris was to make us one big entity. We need to realize that Klal Yisrael is one big entity. And when one part of Klal Yisrael is hurting, all of Klal Yisrael is hurting. Right now in Eretz Yisrael, there's a terrible outbreak of corona. It's sad. A lot of people in Eretz Yisrael are getting sick. And we're saying, look, we're in America. It doesn't affect us. Out of sight, out of mind. But the Kliyoka is telling us this week's parasha is all about feeling their pain. If Yidden are suffering and Yidden are in pain, we have to feel their pain. So, therefore, says the Kliyoka, that's why when the Torah describes the bris part, it writes it b'loshin yachid, because the whole purpose of the bris is to make us feel like we're one entity, like we're one body, like we are one person. The obvious question that many mepharshim talk about in this week's parasha is, where is this opening pasuk contrary to the end of last week's parasha? We know last week's parasha, Parashas Kisavai, was the heavy, heavy toichacha, the heavy, heavy curses and the heavy, heavy punishment that Hashem lays out very clearly. We don't have time to get into it now. It's really for last week's parasha share. But if you read through the toichacha in last week's parasha, it's scary how all of those things were definitely experienced in the Holocaust and probably more. And it's very clear in the Pesukim what the Toichacha is. It's not like Hashem is being vague. It's not like Hashem is beating around, is hiding it from us. He is very clear. He's telling us what exactly is going to happen to the Jewish people. And as we all know, much of this, if not even more, happened to the Jewish people in the Holocaust. So there's a beautiful pshat I saw from Moshe Shtermach, a beautiful idea. Moshe Shtermach explains, he quotes a comment from the Vilna Gaon. He said the Vilna Gaon says that if the Jewish people did not have Yisurin, we would never be around as a nation. Why? He says because really our Pi Din were supposed to be gone already. We sin, we do mistakes, so we should be gone. So why are we still around after so many years? Says the Vilna Gaon, it's because of the Yisurin, the pain that the Jewish nation had to endure for so many years over and over. Those Yisurin is why we're still here today. And Zok, the Rav Moshe Shtermach, every Jew has to realize that. And when you go through pain and suffering in life, it's your ticket. It's your ability to still be around. Because again, on our own merit, very often we don't deserve a lot. And therefore, Zok the Torah, that's the Hemshech. That's the continuation of last week's parasha. Last week's parasha, we had all those klolo, you said all those terrible things. Then we open up. Atem mitzvah mayim. You know why you're alive today? Because of all the pain and suffering that you endured. Whether it be the community or whether it be the individuals. But the reason why we're here today, to be able to continue being Am Yisrael, the reason why the Jewish people are still alive, the reason why we're still around and we're still a very strong presence, is because of the Yisurim. Because of all the pain and suffering that we went through as a nation, or we went through as individuals, that's why we're here today. So very often when we have Yisurim, and Nebuch, there was no shortage of Yisurim this year. We don't have to go through all the different tragedies, Meiron, and it goes on and on and on, and it's heart-wrenching and it's heartbreaking, and we've spoken about many of these tragedies many times, sadly enough. But it's just the idea, very apropos, as we close the year, and it was a difficult year. We hope and pray that next year comes much sweeter, a year of only good, but it was a hard year. It was a hard year for Klal Yisrael. It was a hard year for individuals, and it was a hard year for us as a Jewish nation. We saw much suffering in our communities. But the Rav Moshe Shtermach is reminding us that, don't forget, all that Yisurin was why we're still around today. The reason why we're still here today, the reason why we're still going to Mirtz Hashem usher in Rosh Hashanah, Tav Shin Pei Beis, is because of all that Yisurin. Because without that Yisurin, who knows if we'd still be around Bechlal. So that Yisurin, as much as it's hard to imagine, as it's hard to say, and it's not necessarily always easy to understand, that Yisurim is, says the Vilna Gaon, is our ticket to success. I don't often quote from Shlomo Kalbach, but he did say something very profound, which I think ties into what we just mentioned a minute ago. You know, I heard a recording from Shlomo Kalbach on a Shabbos Nachamu, before he went into his famous Nachamu, Nachamu Ami song. He pointed out something which I think is often overlooked. You know, we talk about the pain and suffering that we had over this last year, and we did. I am not in any level belittling Chas V'Shalom, the tzaris that we experienced as a nation. But as he pointed out, you know what? But how many brisim did we have this year? How many chasnas did we have this year? How many babies were born this year? How many couples got married this year? You know, we only focus on the negative. Sometimes we have to look at the positive also. Yes, it was a hard year, but Baruch Hashem. How many people had babies this year? How many people made chasanas? How many people made bar mitzvahs? How many people, you know, were able to make other forms of simchas? So Baruch Hashem, amidst the pain and suffering, we had good moments also. So we have to balance that out. That's really more of a lesson from last week's parasha, but again, we're not going to get into it now. The idea of balancing the negative and the positive, we have to look at both as we get ready for the Yom Hadid. So the Rashi says over here, who are the Choytev Eitzecha Nishayv Mimecho? Who are the wood choppers and the water carriers? So Rashi says, these are Knanim that came to be Megayer during the times of Yeshua, and they wanted to join the Jewish nation. So the Haflah as a Kasha, the Haflah says, how could there be any Gerim during the times in the Midbar? One of the criteria to become a Ger is you have to have a bris milah. And we know the Jewish people didn't have a bris milah in the Midbar. We actually learned about this on our Sunday morning share when we learned about Balaz the Milah. The Gemara said that the 40 years in the Midbar there were no Jewish brisim because it was too dangerous. They thought the wind or the area, the weather would be detrimental. So frak the afloh, if there was no bris milah, how can you have a Ger? So the afloh says that avada the goyim risked their life to get a bris. Jewish people have a din, we're not allowed to put ourselves into sakana, even suffix sakana. So the Jewish people weren't allowed to have a bris, so therefore the Jewish people couldn't have a bris milah. But a goy, he has no din that he's not allowed to put himself into sakana, he has no din v'chai b'hem. Therefore, if he wanted to become, Itaka had to risk his life in order to become Jewish. They say a maisa with Reb Chaim Moizer that Reb Chaim Moizer was collecting in someone's house once, a very wealthy gevir. And he went to his house, and the gevir gave him a very big check. And he's reading on his wall, he has a big letter, and the letter says that this fellow is a ger. He converted to the Jewish people, but he never had a bris milah because he couldn't handle bris milah because of medical reasons. And it's okay, he's still Jewish. It was signed by Rabbi Zalpanovich. Rabbi Zalpanovich held that you don't need it. So Chaim Moshe told him, he said, thank you very much for the check, but I want you to know you're not Jewish. We don't pass him like that. We hold that if you don't have a bris, you can't become a ger. So you can't become a ger. You're stuck. Can't become a ger. So that's this week's parashat Haflah says, no, they had to risk their life if they wanted to become a ger. One of the messages where the Torah depicts all the different groups is the Torah is reminding us that every single Jew has value. Now, we often like to look at Jews and what they can do for society. So you look at the Rabbonim, and then you look at the Askanim, and then you look at the people who give money. Then you ask yourself, well, what does everyone else do? What is their role? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us here that he looks at every Jew is special. Every Jew is unique, and every Jew has a role to play, and I'll prove it to you. Because if each Jew didn't have a role to play, Hashem wouldn't have put him onto this earth. Hashem didn't put people on this earth for no reason. Everyone's here to do something. So the Torah is letting us know that every single Jew has a purpose, he has a tachlis, but he has a chashivas in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every person counts, and everyone's important, and everyone should feel important. You know, very often people feel like, why do I count? I don't matter. No one knows if I'm here, if I'm not here. What do I add to society? What do I add to my community? The answer is, you do add. Showing up to shul every Shabbos and showing up to shul during the week, you make a difference. Showing up to a shir, you make a difference. Being in your family, you make a difference. So the Torah is reminding us that every Jew counts and every Jew has a purpose. There's a beautiful balaturim on this pasuk, tapachem. What's the pasuk saying? The pasuk says, the first pasuk is the leaders. Right? All of you are standing. Who are you? The Rasheichem, the Shifteichem. These are all the high-ranking members of society. Call Ish Yisrael, every single Jew. Then we talk about the children and the women and the children. Zark the Balaturim. Tapachem, says the Balaturim, Loimar Shi Yisrael Be'enei HaRoshim Linahalom Uladrishem Kitapam. Says the Balaturim that the Jewish leaders have to look at the Jewish people as their children. When someone is at in that position of leading the Jewish people, for whatever reason, he's considered a leader, he's a gadol, he's a manig, whatever job you fit in, you have to look at the people as your children. If you don't look at them as your children, then you can't be a leader. Leadership means that I look at everyone as my children. I don't show any special favoritism to my children over someone else's children. Reb Ruderman said over the story, when he was by the altar, Reb Ruderman learned in Slabodka, along with many other great Rosh Hashivas of the 20th century. So he was by the altar once, talking to the altar, and the altar's actual son walked into the room, and the altar hasn't seen him for some time, and he totally did not interrupt talking to Reb Ruderman to talk to the altar. So after they finished talking, Reb Ruderman asked the altar, what's pshat? He said, well, you're my son and he's my son. You're both my sons. I don't look at him as any more different than you. Now that's an unbelievable madrega to reach, where we put our Talmidim at such a high pedestal comparative to our children. But the Vada the Balaturim is still very true. We have to look, if you're in a leadership role, you have to look at everyone as your children. The same way you would do for your children, you would act for your children, you'd be Meister Nefesh for your children, you have to do that for all of Klal Yisrael. It's not easy to be a leader. We live in a world today where the leadership in the secular world is one big fat joke. You look at the presidency, you look at the government, you know they don't have your best interest involved, you know they don't care about you that much, you know they wouldn't do this to their children, but it's supposed to be different in our world, in our Jewish world, our leaders, and the gedolim that we have today, Baruch Hashem, I think view, they do think of Klal Yisrael as their children, and they are Moisei Nefesh, and they stay up late, and they give hours of time to Jewish people that are not their children, just because they're there for them. I spoke about this in the past, my Rosh Hashiva, Zelig Epstein, one of his claims to fame is that he used to give a lot of his time to people. People that he didn't even know, people that he didn't have any connection to, but just to be there for them, to give them time. You'd give your own child time. If your child came to you and said, I have, I need your time, you'd give him time. So we need to do the same things with our children. You know, Rabbi Lev tells a great story that he was on his way to give a shiur. And Rabbi Lev, Kananahar, has a large family. And he was on, this is when his kids were young, his kids are already older. He said he was on his way to give a shiur. One of his daughters asked him for help with the homework. So he told his daughter, I have to go to give a shiur. So his daughter was like early teenage years. She says to his father, good. So tell everyone at the shiur, you have no time to teach your daughter Chumash, but instead you're busy teaching the world Torah. So Rabbi Lev said, she's right. And he came back home and he sat down with his daughter and he did homework. So it's a very important balancing role between, you know, being involved for your children and looking at Klal Yisrael as your children. So it's a very big balancing act, in my humble opinion, for what Gedolim and leaders have to do, put their family first and still look at Klal Yisrael, every member of Klal Yisrael as your family. You know, sometimes you have that cousin who's just such a nunnik. And you put up with him because he's your cousin, and it says Nechumish, you're not allowed to ignore your family. So you got to look at everyone as that nudnik cousin, even though he's not your cousin, because we're overlaid. Rashi says in the Chumash that what is the connection between this week's parsha and last week's parsha? So Rashi quotes a famous Medrash. The Medrash says, "Loma nismucha parshas atin mitzavim leklolos." Why does the Torah connect the klolos of last week's parsha to atin mitzavim? So Rashi says, "Lefishishamu Yisrael meya klolos chosishtayim," because the Jewish people heard 98 curses, 100 minus 2. There's a whole discussion. Why can Rashi just tell us 98? Why do you have to tell us 100 minus 2? So Rashi, and then you have the 49 in Parshas B'chukosai. Hariku Pnei, and their face turned green. They Parshat said, we can't handle this. Forget it, we don't stand a chance. They gave up. So Rashi, v'amru mi yuchal amay be'elu. Who can handle this? There's so much danger that's going to happen to us. There's so much bad that's going to befall us. Forget it. We're going to give up before we even start. So Zagrashi, hischa Moshe Rabbeinu lefayis. Moshe Rabbeinu decided to calm them down. What was his calming tactic? Atem mitzav mayoyim, harbe chastem lamokim v'loy osa etchem kliya. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, relax guys. You made a lot of trouble, you wreaked a lot of havoc, and you're still here. Hashem hasn't wiped you off the face of the earth yet. Vari atem kayom lefonav, you're still here. So according to the Medrash that Rashi quotes, the purpose of the Atem Mitzavim was to calm down the Jewish people. Tell the Jewish people, relax, don't stress, it's going to be okay, look, you're still here, you made a lot of trouble, you made a lot of messes, you're still here, don't worry, don't be so afraid from the clothes. So the obvious kasha that all the Mefarshim ask is, so it defeats the purpose. If the purpose of the klolos is to scare us, is to make us realize that all the bad is going to be false, then Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, don't worry, it's not really going to happen. No, it's like the parent who scares the child and says the child, if you misbehave one more time, I guarantee you I'm taking away this and I'm taking away that, and you're not going to go on vacation. And then the father comes behind the kid and says, don't worry, mom's never going to do that. Trust me, she's all talk, she's never going to do that. So in fact, all the Mefarshim, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's agenda over here? So one of the answers, which I think is very very apropos as we come to Rosh Hashanah, is there's a difference between fear and despair. Despair means I give up. I can't handle it. It's too much. I can't tackle the job at hand. That's not something we believe in Yish. Yish loikana. Judaism has a principle. We don't believe you can get anything in life if you give up. Despair gets you nowhere. So Moshe Rabbeinu was worried that people are going to give up. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen guys, I want you to be afraid, but I don't want you to give up. If you're going to give up, you're going to throw in the towel, forget it. You're not going to get anywhere in life. Reb Koppelman says it a little differently. Reb Koppelman explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was worried that the Jewish people are going to be depressed. We know from last week's parasha that one of the major themes of Klal Yisrael's survival is Avodas Hashem B'Simcha. We said in last week's parasha, why did all the klolos happen? Tachas Hashalai Vatas Hashem Lekecha B'Simcha Miroiv Koil. We didn't serve Hashem out of happiness. We served Hashem out of forcefulness, or we served Hashem out of routine, but there was no joy. So Reb Koppelman explains, Moshe Rabbeinu was petrified. If he doesn't lessen the severity and the fear, the Jewish people will not serve Hashem out of love. It will just be out of fear. And he says it was worth it for Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps to lessen the fear, to at least make it simchadik. That Jewish people should serve Hashem b'toich simcha, not b'toich atzmus. So that's always what happens when we come to Rosh Hashanah. You don't want to make Rosh Hashanah so scary, because if it's so scary, you give up. If someone tells you that Rosh Hashanah is the scariest day of the year and there's nothing you can do, and so you know what? You throw in the towel. You say, why should I even bother? We know the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is based on the Torah that you're supposed to take a haircut before Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to put on a nice soup before Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to eat meals on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because a part of us is betuach. Part of us says, like Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, listen, we know, we believe, we're confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us all the good. But another part of us says, no, but we still got to be nervous. So it's a mamash balancing act. You don't want to get too scared. You don't want anxiety to kick in. You don't want despair to kick in. But you don't want complacency to kick in. You don't want to say, I got this. It's in the bag. Hashem, I've been around for X amount of years. I know I got another year coming. So this is really the balancing act that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to strike with the Jewish people. Is really the same balancing act that we strike on Rosh Hashanah. On one hand, we want to be nervous. We want to be afraid. We want to realize the amazing, the scary, you know, unbelievable day that Rosh Hashanah is. But on the other hand, we don't want to go crazy. We don't want to be nervous to the point where we don't enjoy the Zechiyah of Simchas Yom Tov on Rosh Hashanah. The Zechiyah of presumably to eat the meals on Rosh Hashanah. You're supposed to be happy. You're not supposed to be depressed. So this is almost the balancing act that we have to do every year when Rosh Hashanah rolls around. There's a beautiful Medrash. The Medrash says in the first Pasuk, Rashi says similar to that, that it says in the Pasuk, Atem mitzvim hayoyim, hayoyim. So the Medrash tells us, you know, days, some days are nicer and some days are not so nice, right? Right? You know, some days are beautiful blue skies and some days are like outside, pouring rain, you know, tornado, hurricane. You know, you have your better days and your worst days. So the Medrash says so to the Jewish people. We have our better days and we have our worst days. Some days the Jewish people are on top of the world and some days Nabuch, the Jewish people are in suffering. So the Jewish people also have a cycle of ups and downs. We have our better days and we have our, sadly, not such good days. Okay, the pasuk continues. And Hashem tells the Jewish people, I want you to join a bris. But it's not just you. Not only is it you that are here live in person, I want to make a bris for even the future generations, that everyone will be bound by this treaty to keep and serve Hashem. It says the pasuk, you know, you guys remember Mitzrayim. What was the Mitzrayim? And you remember what you saw. Vatiru, and you saw. What did you see? Mitzrayim, like the pasuk, as shikutzehem. You saw their disgusting abominations. Their disgusting sheketz is disgusting. As gilulehem, Rashi says gilulehem is referring to their excrements. It's disgusting. Eitz v'even, their wood and stone. Kesef is of the gold and silver asheimem that they had. So, now if I should make a couple of very interesting observations on this one pasuk. First of all, the pasuk says, "Vatiru, you saw." Very often in life, we are affected by what we see. We see something, we're exposed to something, it has a very long-lasting impact on us. What we see makes a difference in our life. Famous Arizal, that Arizal says, whatever we see in life is because we were meant to see it, we were destined, we were supposed to see that. But we all know that whatever we see has a very, very big impact on us. So when the Jewish people saw the Avodah Zarah, which is one of the reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah, when we get into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says, I don't want any Avodah Zarah in the city at all, get rid of it. Because we're affected by what we see. If you're going to see Avodah Zarah, it's going to change your outlook, it's going to affect how you look at Avodah Zarah. We mentioned this in the past. Rabbi Dr. Twersky Zatzal also showed a very interesting study where he had a bunch of people who never tried heroin in their life. He had them watch a video about different addicts who were on heroin, and the study showed that over time, those people who watched the video of addicts who ruined their life through heroin ended up getting addicted to heroin themselves. And the explanation he gave was, once you see things, you get desensitized. You say, hey, listen, there must be something to it. If everyone's doing it, it must be this guy threw his whole life for it. It must be this heroin is so geschmack. So we all get affected by what we see. Therefore, the Torah is saying, just by seeing that Avodah Zarah, we know what it can do to you. But the pasuk is very interesting. The pasuk says, what's the Avodah Zarah? The pasuk says the Avodah Zarah is shikutz v'gululehem. It's repulsive and it's excrement. Then it's eitz v'even, and then it's kesev v'zav. So the Biskarov says a beautiful idea. Biskarov says that, the first time you're exposed to something which is terrible, it looks to you as shikutz v'gululem. And the next time you see it, no, it's eitz v'even. It's not repulsive, it's not disgusting. It's just like, you know, it's wood and stone. And at the end, it's kesev zav, it's amazing. This is how addictions start. person starts with an addiction the first time he ever, I don't suggest anyone ever try, but he tries smoking, it's disgusting, you're coughing, it smells. Then the next time, no, not so bad, okay. Then the third time, it's fantastic, you get caught on the nicotine, that's it, you're hooked for life. So Zakhti Biskirov, same thing here also. Something starts off repulsive, but over time you get desensitized. Then it's not so disgusting. And then not only does it become not so disgusting, it turns into kesev zov. It becomes amazing. It becomes fantastic. It becomes desirable. These are all very important lessons for different things around us that, you know, we start off saying, no, I can never do that. That's terrible. That's disgusting. That's repulsive. No. It seeps in over enough time. Not only is it no longer repulsive, it comes to the point where it's mamish looked at as kesev zov. So what happens, the Torah says, you're going to have an individual, man or woman. The Torah is not gender-based. The Torah thinks men can sin and women can sin. I don't know why anyone thinks that the Torah thinks only men sin. Women sin also. Or a family or an entire tribe, they're totally going to go away. They're going to switch teams. They're going to go play for the Avoy Dezor. So Zakhti Pasigesh Bechem Sheirish Poy Resh Valano. And what's going to happen? It's going to be even worse, says the pasuk. They're going to hear this speech. They're going to bless in their hearts and say, Shalom Yeli, I'm okay. Ki bishvirus li bi eilich. Leman tzvois harvas atzmiya. I will not be affected. This is not for me. You can read the whole Teicha and Chumash and the Shul and say, that's for the guy down the block, not me. So the kash is, who's crazy enough to say that? Who actually thinks that he's going to sin, he's going to do Averis, and he's going to say, Shalom Alei Nafshi, no one's going to bother me. So the Ibn Ezra has a pshat. The Ibn Ezra says pshat in the pasuk is referring to a person who says to himself, listen, I got my problems. But you know what? I hang around good people. I daven in a shul with good people. My community is made up of good people. Klai Yisrael overall is good people. I will kind of just be like, you know, batel beroiv. I'm kind of just get, you know, no one's going to notice. I'm going to go under the radar being part of the Klai Yisrael. Zok the pasuk, no. Lo yeva Hashem sloyach le Hashem has no patience for you. He will not forgive you. He will not allow you to skip under the radar. As powerful as the tzibur, the idea of that the power of the tzibur is only if you connect to the tzibur. Just being in the tzibur and sinning is not going to help you. They say that the Mir Yeshiva, when the Mir Yeshiva left Vilna to go to Shanghai, to go first to Kobe, Japan, and then they finally ended up in Shanghai, China. So one of the big midas that the Mir Yeshiva had was unity. They all learned in the same base medrash. They did everything together. They didn't take breaks because they realized their success is as a tzibur. The reason why they're surviving the Holocaust when many of their brethren did not survive, especially when Japan was at war and Japan was allies with the Nazis, and a lot of it, you read the book, it really doesn't make sense how the Jews survived in Shanghai. It's an amazing story how so many Yidden, so much of the Torah that we have today, so many of the great Gedolim went through Shanghai, and that's rebuilt the Torah today in America, in Eretz Yisrael, Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Rebbe, many other Gedolim, Reb Backs from Detroit, was in the Shanghai. So many Gedolim who went through Shanghai, and Alpidar Chateva, that trip should have never made any sense. But they realized that their ticket to success is being part of the Tzibur, which is what we say for Rosh Hashanah also. If you want to be successful in Rosh Hashanah, be part of the Tzibur, be part of your shul, get involved, make a difference, be an active member of your community, be part of your shul, be part of your schools, be part of your neighborhood, be active, be benefit from the Tzibur. They say that the Blazer Yudel on the Yom and the Roim wouldn't sit on the Mizuchvant, because he didn't want to separate himself from the people. He said on the Mizuchvant, you're detached from the people. He wanted to get the Hashpah, the Kayach, the Schus of the Rabbim. He didn't want to sit up in the Mizuchvant. He wanted to be connected to the people. The Kotzke Rebbe has a different shot on this passage. The Kotzke Rebbe says, which person is foolish enough to think that I'm going to sin and Kibishurus Libi Elich, it's all going to be okay? So the Kotzke Rebbe says, it's referring to a person who has stellar Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, but no Ben Adam L'Makam. The guy says to himself, listen, I'm a good person. I'm nice to my neighbors. I don't steal. I don't hurt anyone. Okay, so I don't daven. No. So I'm a chalal Shabbos. Who am I hurting? This was always a famous line. Who am I hurting? So Zakhti Kotzke Rebbe, that's what the mistake this person is making. He thinks that as long as he's a good friend and he's nice to his neighbors, so he doesn't have to be nice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zakhti Chumash, no, you got to be nice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to be nice to your neighbors. You have to have the whole package, Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, as well as Ben Adam L'Makom. Then the pasuk continues. The pasuk says, it's going to happen. The Klai Yisrael is going to suffer, and there's going to be terrible, terrible punishment. You're going to have, just like what happened by Stoyim Va'amayri, the land is going to be destroyed. The Medrash says this, referring to post Chorban Bayis Rishon. And the Pasuk says, Va'omru kol ha'goyim, and the nations are all going to say, Alma os Hashem koch la'aretz. Why did this happen? Why was Hashem so mad? Va'omru al Hashem ozu es bris Hashem alekei avayisam. This is because we broke our deal. We made a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We made a deal, and we broke our deal. And therefore, that's why this all happened. And there's a beautiful medrash. The medrash says on the pasuk, it says, "Vayitchem Hashem me'alav masam." Hashem will throw us off the land. But af uvechema uvekezel with anger. Vayashlichem aleretz acheres kayemiz, and he'll throw us into the new land. So there's a beautiful medrash. The medrash says that everything originally, the way it should be, is that everything in this world should be given to Klai Yisrael in order to serve Torah, to learn Torah. Everything we should have, all the, you know, all the things that we need in this life should be all here to serve us so we can learn Torah. And Hashem took it from the Ummah Sa'ilim and gave it to us. But when we broke our treaty, then Hashem took it away from us and gave it to the Ummah Sa'ilim. I mean, that's what's supposed to happen when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, we're supposed to get all the things in Olam Hazeh to help us serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Goyim are supposed to be, are going to be here to work for us. My son, he's 8 years old. So he told our babysitter this week that she's not Jewish. So he told the babysitter, you know, when Mashiach comes, you're going to work for me. So we had to explain to him, you probably don't want to go around telling all your Gentile people you come in contact to, but it happens to be true. It's what the Rambam writes, Kipshutai. The Goyim, because the whole world was here to serve us. But that's only if we're serving Hashem properly. When we serve Hashem properly, then the world will serve us. But if we're not going to serve Hashem properly, then the world is not going to serve us. And not only that, we're going to lose all those things that are supposed to come to us. And then we come to a very famous pasuk. It's famous because it has datsan in the Chumash. Hanistarois l'Hashem elekenu, the hidden things that belongs to Hashem, v'hanigloys, and the revealed things, lanu ulavanenu ad olam, those are for us and our children ad olam forever. Lasoris is called divrei HaTorah. So there are many, many pshatim in how to understand this pasuk. Rashi says, pshat in this pasuk is that Klai Yisrael comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Taina. They say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not fair. You told us that we're achroi for each other. Call Yisrael Reivim Zelazeh. What am I supposed to do if my friend has bad thoughts? What am I going to do then? How am I supposed to be held accountable? So Zokta Hashem says back to him, no, hanistarois l'Hashem elokeinu. You're right, that's not your problem. If he has internal thoughts, that's not going to be, you're not going to be held accountable for it. Only vanigloys, only those things that are open. You see your friend openly doing an avera, and you don't stop him, then you're going to be held accountable. The Ksav Sofer has a different shot. The Ksav Sofer learns, it's referring to the Kates Hagolos. The Hanisterois L'Hashem Elokeinu. When Mashiach is going to come, that's not our job. Our job is not to try to calculate, even though many Rishonim and many Gedolim have done this. Talk to Ksav Sofer, that's not our job. Vanisterois, Hashem Elokeinu, that's Hashem's business. Vanigloys, what's our job? Lanu v'neinu, our job is to learn Torah. As last is called Divrei HaTorah, our job is to learn Torah. Our job is not to try to figure when Mashiach is going to come, what year, what date, what month, this, that, you know. Very often, you know, kids like to talk about what Mashiach is. My kids like to talk about, well, you know, what's going to happen when Mashiach comes, and who's Mashiach, and what's Mashiach. I try not to talk too much about it, because we don't know so much, that's first of all. We know very little. And when it happens, we'll know. How are we going to get there? So we're going to go on planes. When Mashiach comes, they'll tell you how you get Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to worry. But what do you do, Zok Tiksav Sefer? Last Sois is called Divrei HaTorah. You just learn Torah. You be a good Jew. Don't worry about Mashiach. He'll come when you do your end of the deal. That's Tiksav Sefer's pshat. The other pshat is that the Hanistarais L'Hashem Elokeinu is referring to the Tzaris of Klal Yisrael. So many of us have so many questions. Why did this happen? Why is the pain and suffering? We spoke about earlier this evening, all the amount of pain and suffering that we experienced as a nation this year. Why, Hashem? Why so many kids, so many innocent young children, so many young people this year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Meiron, and other places, young people. Why, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, Dr. Chumash, that's not your business. That's not your business. Your job is, last place is called, you keep the Torah. Don't ask questions. Don't try to understand. Don't try to psychoanalyze. That's not your job. Your job is lasis. It's called divrei HaTorah. You do what you're supposed to do. You get up every morning and you go to shachris and go learn and do your job and be a good honest person in business and come home to your family. That's your job. Your job is not to try to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to bring a COVID pandemic and give us a vaccine and there's still people getting sick and people are still dying and we can't get around this and why is Afghanistan a disaster and why did SARS happen? That's not your job. Don't worry about it. Then there's the final pshat, which I love a lot. I've been saying this over. I forgot already who this comes from. I think maybe it comes from either the Munkache Rebbe or his father, the Darkei Tshuva. Very often, you know, parents do a lot of things behind the scenes. And very often they say they don't want their kids to know what they do. They don't want their kids to know. They like to do things shashtel behind the scenes. Whether it be tztaka, whether it be klal work, whether it be other things, they always say, I don't want anyone to know what I do. I like to be anonymous. No one knows what I do. No one knows what I do. So the pasuk reads like this: Hanisterois, if you're going to live your life, everything is secret. Hashem Elokeinu, only Hashem is going to know. Your kids are not going to know. They're not going to learn from you. They're not going to look at you as a role model. They're not going to copy you, and they're not going to continue in your legacy. V'hanigloys,
But if you let them know, you make it revealed, then lon ulavaninu arayilom. Then you'll have your children will pick up good behavior from you and their children, and then you have arayilom. So people very often, I always tell people, there's a middle ground. You don't have to flaunt it, but you have to let them, maybe you don't want to let them know everything you do. Fine. You don't have to let them know every penny you give to tzedakah, but your kids should know that you give tzedakah. Your kids should know that you try to make a difference in your community, because if not, they won't do it. How are they supposed to know? Kids know what they see. If they grow up in a home and they see that their parents are active in the community, they'll be active in the community. So this is one of my favorite pshatim in this pasuk. If you're going to keep everything you do private, it's only going to be between you and Hashem. And not the next generation. But if you let people, if you reveal it to us, you let your kids know what you do, you let your kids know that you make a difference in Klai Yisrael, you let your kids know that you're an active member in your shul, you're an active member of your community, you're supporting Torah, you're spreading Torah, you're teaching Torah, you're learning Torah. Then it goes forever. Then it's you, your children, Ara Olam, then it continues forever. It's such a beautiful idea, such a beautiful message. Okay, then we come to the next Perek Lamed, another very important pasuk. The pasuk says the following. It will happen when all the bad things happen. All these negative curses and punishments. Says the pasuk, you know what's going to happen? You're going to hit rock bottom. You're going to be so pummeled with all the different klolos and all the different heart-wrenching stories, you'll be motivated to tshuva. You will return to Hashem. So this is very understandable. A person reaches rock bottom. When he reaches rock bottom, he realizes there is nowhere left to go. There's no lower to reach. I want to retake my life. I want to rebuild. I want to get better. But if you read that pasuk carefully, there's one word in that pasuk that seems not to fit whatsoever. The pasuk says, "All will befall you." Habracha the haklala. When was the last time a person was motivated to do tshuva because he had blessings in his life? Klala, I understand. Many people are motivated to improve because they had a hard life. Things are not going their way. Tzaris after tzaris. So they say to themselves, "I gotta make an about face. I gotta change the way I'm going." When was the last time a guy who business is fantastic, his kids are doing great in school, he has a perfect shalom bais, all his kids are married, grandkids are well. The guy says to himself, you know what? I think I have to change my life. It never happens. The guy that has all the bracha says to himself, you know, shalom alei nafshi. So the Mefarshim point out an unbelievable idea over that sometimes when a person finds himself with an abundance of bracha, he should ask himself, am I deserving of this bracha? Do I deserve all the beautiful blessings that Hashem has given me? Am I living up to a lifestyle that should receive these brachas? I know klolos were always quick to do tshuva, to repent mitzat klolos. Just give me 1 second. But how often do we do tshuva when things are going well? How often do we do tshuva when life is going the way we want it to be? So the pasuk is alluding to this idea that tshuva should not only be motivated because we had a hard year and Jews are suffering. Tshuva should be motivated because I had a great year. And Baruch Hashem, my family is well and safe and Parnas is good and everyone's healthy. But you know what? Do I deserve all those brachas? So a person should use both good times and bad times as a motivation, as an impetus to look into himself to see, is he living up to the lifestyle that he should? So the pasuk says, what's going to happen? V'shav Hashem alekech, Hashem is going to bring us back. This is what we know today as kibbutz golius. This is what we hold. This is the mekar of the idea that we're supposed to be mechakel Yeshua. We're supposed to anticipate the arrival of Mashiach. We've mentioned many times the famous Gemara. The Gemara says that one of the things the Kodesh Baruch was going to ask us was mitzapel Yeshua. Did you anticipate Mashiach's arrival? And Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out, it's not going to be, did you do it once a year on Tisha B'Av? Did you do it once a year, you know, when things were tough? It was every day of your life. You have to be mitzapel Yeshua every single day. That's why they instituted into the Shemoneh Esrei. That's why they put into brackets. They didn't want you to say it. They wanted you to think it. Pashtus the Arizal. But the point is, we need to think about Mashiach's arrival. You know, we always make fun of Lubavitch. Oh, they're so into Mashiach. No, we're not enough into Mashiach. Again, I'm not getting involved in what the Rebbe's role or wasn't in Mashiach. But Lemaisa, we can learn from them. We should be as excited about Mashiach as they are. Why are we not excited about Mashiach? The only time we want Mashiach to come is when things are bad. When Klai Yisrael is in pain and suffering, we want Mashiach. And when things are good, no. Who needs Mashiach? You know, the stock market's doing well. Life is pretty good, right? Who needs Mashiach? But this is the mitzvah that we're supposed to anticipate Mashiach's arrival. So they say by Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld used to say that he's not mitzap of the Yeshua, but he's mechakel Yeshua. Mechakel is a much deeper level of awaiting. Mitzap means anticipating. Anticipating means in the far distance. Mechakel means I'm waiting on the edge of my seat. I'm waiting any minute that's going to come. They say the story that the Chafetz Chaim used to have a backpack. Many historians say that story is not true. But in any case, they don't say these stories about me and you. They say it about the Chafetz Chaim, that this sense of longing for Mashiach's arrival, which is lost today. It's Nebuch lost today because life is pretty good in America. Life is pretty good in the Golos. We mentioned this in other times that, you know, it used to be Klal Yisrael had this longing to go to Eretz Yisrael, a longing for Mashiach, because they never went to Eretz Yisrael. You can't go to Eretz Yisrael on your own back in the times of the 1700s. You couldn't just hop a plane to go to Eretz Yisrael. Life was very miserable. There was no Parnasa. There was always Goyim giving us problems. So there was a piece of the Yeshua. Today, you want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now we have COVID, but without COVID, all you got to do is pay for it. You don't even have to pay. You can get miles. You drop on a plane. You're in Eretz Yisrael in 2 seconds. So life is pretty good. The Goyim don't bother us. And Baruch Hashem, we have Parnasa. So there's no Tzipisal Yeshua. So that's this week's parasha is reminding us that we have to be Mitzapel Yeshua. Reis of Chaim Zonnefeld was also having a conversation once with a Czech consul member. And he asked him the following question. He said, why is it that you refer to Mashiach as the Goyal Tzedek, the Redeemer of Righteousness? Why is that his title? And Reis of Chaim Zonnefeld told him something which is so relevant, mamish, in current events right now. Now, we live in a world today where everyone's trying to figure out what's right and just. What's right? Is it right for us to take all our soldiers out of Afghanistan and leave America? That's right, because we have to get out. Now everyone's trying to be the decider of righteousness. So Dr. Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, you know who's going to decide real righteous? Geulas, the Goyal Tzedek Levi Mashiach. He's going to tell us, he's going to redeem righteousness. He's going to teach the world, what does it mean to be righteous? Not this, you know, this fake righteousness that we live within today. Righteousness means you stand up for the Taliban, and you stand up for the Arabs, and you stand up for everyone who you shouldn't stand up for. That's fake righteousness. Mashiach is going to come. He's going to redeem righteousness. He's going to bring righteousness to where it belongs. What's really righteous? What's really correct? Then the Torah tells us a famous pasuk. It's so famous because Avram Fried turned it into a song. I'm feeling more from David. I forget already. Shishi ki a mitzvah hazois. This mitzvah, asher anoichi mitzvah v'chayim, that I'm commanding you today, loy nifleis hi mimcha. It's not covered from you. V'loy richoiki hi. It's not distant from you. Loy b'shemayim ilimer. It's not in heaven that I ask of you. Mi yalalon v'shemayim v'gechelon. Who's going to take me up to shemayim and get me there? V'loy me'evel yami. It's not on the opposite side of the ocean, and therefore I need someone to take me there. But rather ki karoy ve'lecha adov v'moid. It's very close to you. Beficha uvelvovcha la'asoyse, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart to do. So famous machloikis b'shoinim, what is this mitzvah? Ki ha-mitzvah is which mitzvah? So the pashtus is, if you look in the Gemara in Erevin, it sounds like it's referring to the mitzvah of Torah. And this is very true today. Baruch Hashem, Torah is very, very obtainable. Today all you need is a smartphone, you need a computer, you can learn Torah 24/7. Glow on Why You Torah, you click on a share, you go to any website you want, you can listen to a share. You want it French, Russian, whatever language you want. You want to learn about Kabbalah, you want to learn Lomdis, you want to learn Halacha, you name it. All you got to do is plug into the internet, you'll have all the websites at your fingertips. Torah Anytime, again, I'm not picking any specific organizations or making plugs for any of them. You know, Why You Torah has hundreds and thousands of shurim from wonderful Magidi shurim, wonderful topics. So Torah is definitely loy b'shemayim hi. You don't have to go to shemayim. Sam eivel yam. Very, very obtainable. It's so true. Ki karu ve'lech adov emoid. It's so close to us. It's beficha uvuvavcha. It's in our lips and it's in our heart to do it. You don't need too much to learn Torah. Again, wasn't always like that. Used to be learning Torah was taught only for the elite. Those people that were ignoramuses, they couldn't learn Torah. And they were very much blocked out of that part of Judaism because they had no connection to Torah. But today, everyone can learn Torah. All you got to do is get a Gemara, get an art school, get an app, you're good to go. It's an amazing thing. And, you know, there is more learning Torah today than there ever was in Jewish history. Contrary to what people tell you about Europe, it's completely not true that there's more Torah today, because today we have what we call today the working folk, the Balabatim today, are all learning Torah. It used to be the Balabatim in the times of Europe. Most of them were Tehillim Zoggers. They were good people. They were very Tamimistic and very honest, but lav dafka they knew how to learn. Most of them didn't know how to learn. Most of them didn't even go to yeshiva. Most people, by the time they hit Bar Mitzvah, were already working. They weren't Talmid Chacham today, Baruch Hashem. We have Balabatim that are massive Talmid Chacham. We have Balabatim that learn more than the rabbis learn. They learn 5-6 hours a day. It's fantastic. We have Balabatim that learn Shas, Daf Yomi, they do Chumash Rashi, they learn Halacha. It's a different world today. It was never like this in Jewish history. Never, ever. Don't listen to what anyone tells you. There has never been this amount of Torah in the Jewish, in the yeshiva system. There's never been this amount of Torah in the Baal Batisha system. It's fantastic. It's an unbelievable world we live in. This is mamish. And I believe this is probably one of the biggest chusim we have rolling for us today. Because I think we do a lot of other things not correctly. I think our emuna is not as good as it was in earlier years. Our honesty in business is not as good as it used to be. A lot of things we slack often. But Baruch Hashem, the one thing you got to give Klal Yisrael today is the amount of Torah that is learned today is ad soif. It's stunning. It's amazing. It was not like this in Europe. It was not like this for hundreds of years in Europe. It was never like this. It was only the few elite people were able to learn Torah. It's a fantastic halavai to continue in Klai, so this amount of and look at the amount of yeshivas we have, the amount of bat midrashim we have, the amount of kolim we have. We never had this in Jewish history. It was never like this. There were a few yeshivas here and there for the elite talmidim. You had the mir yeshiva, and you had the big name yeshivas, and you had smaller little groups in the shul. Today, every guy goes to yeshiva. He goes to yeshiva for 8 years in elementary school, then he goes to high school, then he goes to Eretz Yisrael to learn, then he goes to Beis Medrash to learn. There's more Torah today than there ever was. So this pasuk is 100% correct if it's referring to Torah. The problem is the Ramban has another pshat. The Ramban says the pasuk is referring to the mitzvah of tshuva. That's not so pashut. We don't find as many people that are chayze b'tshuva as we find learning Daf Yomi. We find a lot of Torah, a lot of shurim, but not so much people doing tshuva. So that's the million-dollar question. In this week's parasha, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz discusses this in his Sichas Musar. What's the pshat? It's the numbers don't seem to add up. So the pashut the teretz is that the Torah never said it's gonna. It doesn't say it's gonna be easy. It's obtainable. You could do tshuva. You might not want to do tshuva. You might not decide to attempt tshuva. But it's an obtainable, meaning it's not like you can only do tshuva if you're willing to pay $100,000 and take a rocket to the moon. You don't need to go anywhere to do tshuva, you just got to do it inside. You got to work with fichol uvavcha, your mouth and your heart, and you can do it. So avad, it's not easy, but it's obtainable. It's something that is in our grasp, it's in our hands to do if we're willing to step up and do it. One of the lessons that the Torah teaches us about Torah is cheshek Torah, a desire, an unbelievable will and want to learn Torah. They say a Moridic story with Yisrael Grossman in Eretz Yisrael. Yisrael Grossman says over the story about the Yaakov Neiman. And Yaakov Neiman had a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael where a boy came to take a faher. And the boy's mother wasn't very religious, but the boy convinced his mother to let him take a faher in a yeshiva. And he took the faher, and the Rosh Yeshiva said, "Your skills are not up to par, you can't come to the yeshiva." And the boy started crying. He said, "You don't know how hard I had to work to convince my mother to let me take this faher. She's not so religious. She don't want me going here. She wanted me to go to a public school. I begged her, please let me into yeshiva." And the yeshiva came back and said, "Fine, you're taken in." So the mother said, "What happened?" So he told the mother, "When I saw his cheshik, his drive, his how badly he wants to learn Torah, I decided that I'm going to take him into my yeshiva." So Torah is all about drive. You know, I could tell you I've seen friends of mine that the Torah didn't go to them. When we were in high school in early years, you'd explain to the guy the Gemara 100 times. He didn't go. Now I heard years later he's talking being very successful. He's learning in Kaili. When it comes to Torah, it's all about working. If you're going to work on it, you could be very successful. If you're not going to work, so then you're not going to get anywhere. But if you're willing to plug, so we mentioned earlier, Torah is all about your effort and toil. You put effort into it, you can reach the stars. No one can control you. No one can lock you down. But if you're not going to try, you're not going to succeed. Okay, we'll end off with one vart over here. A famous vart from Moshe Feinstein that everyone knows. I've said it over many times, other people say it over. But it's in this week's parasha, so we'll say it over in this week's parasha. It says at the end of the Chumash, at the end of the parasha, it says, "Haidoisi b'chamayim, I'm testifying today. Es ha-shamayim b'yasaretz, achayim v'amovis." One of the themes towards the end of the parasha, we're not going to get to it tonight, is the idea of bechira, to choose. Listen, life is all about choices, decision-making. That's what adulthood is all about. It's all about making decisions. So a person has to make decisions. Person can decide to be on the good side of things or on the bad side of things. Life is all about decisions. I remember one time I was listening to my Rebbe. He was telling someone, you know, adulthood is all about making decisions. And it's really true. Part of adulthood is making tough decisions as a parent, as a spouse, in business. That you know, it's not easy. Now, I'm not saying every decision you have to make yourself. He says you should seek guidance from others, ask advice, speak to people. But at the end of the day, sometimes that's what it means to be an adult. You got to make those tough decisions and you got to stand behind them. You got to back them up. So Zok the Pasuk, you got to make decisions. You should choose life. Why? So you and your children should live. So Moshe Feinstein asks, what's the pshat in the Pasuk? If you choose life, then your children will live. So Moshe Feinstein says his famous Yisoyt. Uvachayat means when you're going to choose life, don't just do life and say, Shvetz is on it. When you make that decision that you're going to be a religious Jew, do it with simcha. Why is that, Rav Moshe? L'man tichya atav ezerech. So you will live and your children will live. We mentioned earlier, you want to give a positive message to your children. You want your children not to come back and say, oh, it's such an annoying thing to be a from Yid. You're from Yiddishkeit is such a pain. You can't work on Shabbos, and you got to go to Shachris in the morning, and you got to go to Slichas during Aseret Tshuva and Rosh Hashanah time. Oh, it's so shver. Because if that's what the kids hear, they hear Shvetz is on a Yid, they're not going to want Yiddishkeit. So, Rav Moshe, if you want your children to want Yiddishkeit, you want them to want to be, you want them to have real life, L'man tichya atav ezerecha, Rav Moshe, you want your children to have real life, then you have to pick a life of chayim, simchas achayim, not just the life of good, but you got to love it, you got to be excited about Yiddishkeit, excited about Torah mitzvahs, and then it will be given over to the next generation in a very positive way. Mr. Hashem, it's our last year before Rosh Hashanah. I want to wish everyone a Sivach Hasim Ktoiv, a good Ben Shor. We should be zeichet to a year of only good news for ourselves, for Klal Yisrael, a year full of sweetness, Hashanah Toivah Mesukah, a year full of only good news, and Besairis Toivahs, and Shmuas Toivahs, and we should get together for Simchas in person, and many Simchas. We should hear of no pain and no suffering. HaKadosh Baruch should answer all our tefillahs on this upcoming Yom HaDin L'Toivah. We should be zeichet to have a real, real good, a good year Klal Yisrael for all of us, for our families, and for Klal Yisrael. Have a wonderful Shabbos and Mitzvah Hashem Sunday morning. We will continue on Sunday morning, the regular shir, at 9:15 in Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, everybody, say have a wonderful Yom Tov and a wonderful Shabbos. Good Ben Shor, everyone. Be well.